As you know, Hurricane Bonnie has slammed the Carolinas, causing many coastal cities to batten down the hatches or even evacuate. But this is usually the time of year when the beaches are swarming with tourists, even in the smaller, out-of-way places. Earlier this summer, Karen Brown visited her favorite island on North Carolina's Outer Banks, and she found that not only hurricanes, but tourism is a powerful force for change.
4 years ago, my friends and I were looking for a vacation spot in the Carolinas. Most of the beach towns, from Kitty Hawk to Nag's Head to Hatteras, are accessible by highway, and they show it, with drive-through liquor stores, outlet strip malls, and fast food complexes, mingled with five-story condos. I went to the local library to find a more remote place. What I discovered was Ocracoke Island. It's described as 10 miles of federal parkland and rich natural life, with forest trails and beach dunes, and its romantic character appealed to me as much as the natural beauty. The pirate Blackbeard was captured on Ocracoke in the 1600s, wild horses used to roam there, and the native islanders had even developed a distinct dialect. Best of all, a 40-minute ferry ride separates the island from the rest of civilization. As we pulled into the harbor on our first trip, all we saw was miles of sand and beach. Our home was a tent on the beach, and we felt the island was ours. We only occasionally ambled into the village for a bit of air conditioning in the town's only pub. It's there we saw early signs of development. It was only this year, our third visit, that we realized we weren't the last ones to discover this island paradise. The house we rented over the internet was sandwiched between construction sites, which will soon turn into more rental homes. Making our way from the ferry dock to Ocracoke Village, population 800, the effects of more than a half million visitors a year had begun to take its toll. There are ice cream stores and gift shops at every corner. Tourists ride rented bikes down the middle of the street in herds, forcing locals and pickups off the road. Ferries arrive every 10 minutes or so, and wind-burnt old men hawk sailboat cruises or fishing expeditions. Which is not to say I minded all this. I was on vacation and in the mood for a little indulgence. But at the same time, I felt protective of the island and had an urge to record the charm of Ocracoke before it becomes another Hatteras.
I'll take the smallest one because there's only four of us and we gotta eat it all before we leave.
Take whatever one you want, yeah.
I'm a full-blooded Ocracoke. I grew up here and I'm a waterman, like the water and everything.
83-year-old retired fisherman Owen Gaskill shades himself all day next to a fruit stand on his front lawn, where tourists drive by on their way to the village lighthouse.
Well, when I grew up, there wasn't very little to hear up until the 40s. We had no paved roads or nothing, all sandy roads. Yeah, nothing, no big high-rise buildings or nothing.
The days are gone when Owen knew everyone at the post office and general store, but he says the islanders have accepted change, grudgingly, but sometimes thankfully.
Well, in one way, they're good. The change is now nobody don't have to leave home to make their living unless they want to. But when I grew up, you had to either be a fisherman and half starve to death or leave the island. Yeah, but now anybody wants to work can get a job.
Owen's only spent 10 years away from the island, but many younger folks came from other places to share the tranquility of Ocracoke, and they helped build a tourist industry that they now partially regret.
Well, it was totally different. I mean, it was just a sleepy little, like, fishing village more. I mean, everybody used to go down to the base docks at night, and, you know, a shrimp boat would come in, and they'd steam up a bunch of shrimp, and it was just kind of a real social place, you know, people got together.
Tony Sylvester, a deeply tanned 48-year-old, moved to Ocracoke more than 20 years ago to escape the chaos of the Jersey Shore. He began as a carpenter and builder, and a few years ago he started a surf shop and kayaking business.
When I first came here, everybody thought how horrible Nag's Head was. Now, 20 years later, this is turning into exactly what Nag's Head was. You know, one way it could have went, and I would have liked to have seen it, if we really exploited, you know, the natural and clean environmental beauty that we had here. And we didn't, you know, we just popped up more gift shops and and more things for the masses, and now that's what we're getting.
Thank you very much.
I guess he was talking about shops like this, the Island Rag Picker, where I bought a t-shirt, a few postcards, a shell necklace, and a cutting board, none of which I really needed. But isn't my money welcomed into the local economy? Yes and no, says born and bred ochre coker Candy Gaskell.
I really think the local ones are just, you know, getting tired of it, and you know, they're wanting to go somewhere else where they maybe get that small hometown feel back again. It's just it's so crazy and so busy down here in the summer that it's just, it just doesn't have that feel anymore with all the businesses and all the people that's coming and stuff and everything.
Maybe cheese. You need a little bag, or is that
one? No, I'll do it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good one.
Four generations of Candy's family have run the wood-thatched Albert Styron General Store.
What are you doing, Chan?
They used to sell basic goods to fishermen. Now they stock gourmet cheeses and wines for tourists.
Well, I think the locals feel now, even though they've sold everything out, you know, and they're making some money, I think they feel threatened because a lot of it is the tourists that have come in and got businesses and stuff and everything.
New Hampshire native Ron Cook was reading the newspaper at the Ocracoke Coffee House, which looks more like a Seattle coffee joint than a spot you'd find in a fishing village.
I came as a tourist to see the thing that is unique about this place, which is that community that has been here for several generations, and yet by doing that, you're diluting it, you know? You're commercializing it.
It would be easy to fool myself into thinking I'm not really the problem. If I were the last to discover the island, then everything would be fine. I tell myself it's the thousands who came later, demanding cable TV, playing loud music, willing to pay $4 for an ice cream cone, who corrupt a charming island village. Of course, deep in my heart, I know my mere presence on someone else's homeland changes it, and yet I can't bear to give it up, at least not until it becomes just like everywhere else. For The Savvy Traveler, I'm Karen Brown.
By the way, Tony Sylvester, the surf shop owner, he's retiring this year and moving to a seaside village in Central America. He won't tell a soul where it is. Candy Gaskell would like to stay put, except she's not sure she can afford the rising property taxes. But Owen Gaskell, the old fisherman turned fruit seller, well, he said he plans to die on the island.
A lot of people says they're going to, there's many people that are going to run us away. I said, no. I said, they're not going to run me away. I said, I've been here too long for.